were born before the wind. Also younger than the sun. Yeah, the bonnie boat was won as we sail into the mystic. Oh, I can now hear the sailors cry. Smell the sea and feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic. And where that foghorn blows, I will be coming home. Yeah, when the foghorn blows, I wanna hear it. I don't have the fear that I wanna rock your gypsy soul. Just like way back in the days of old. Yeah, magnificently we will fold into the mystic. That foghorn, you know I will be coming home. Yeah, when that foghorn whistle blows, I gotta hear it. I don't have the fear it, and I wanna rock your gypsy soul, just like way back in the day. Together we will fold into the mystic. Come on, girl.
Well, welcome to the Situation Report. It is Monday, November 25th. A little Van Morrison, Into the Mystic. I figured that was appropriate today, seeing as how pretty much everything we're seeing is mystical. That's the only way to really describe it. You know, all day my phone blew up around Trump's picks. Look, it's one thing to get nominated. It's another thing to get confirmed. And it's even harder to get confirmed. And they've lined up. Remember, I told you they were going to steal the down ballot. You know, Arizona. Counting ballots. Taking their time. Trying to come up with the right amount of votes. Make it look so close. That's what they're doing. And you're trying to erode away the Senate majority so they can stall Trump. Look. We don't know how this is going to play out. And right now, it really doesn't matter. We have 60 days to get there. We have to get all the way through it. Then they have to do the nominee, you know, do the confirmation hearings. It's the whole thing is going to take months to sort out. So it's no sense getting upset about it now. Are there picks that I don't like? Absolutely. And I talk about some of them today. I was on Coffee and a Mic this morning with Tom Luongo. And I love arguing with Tom, right? Because he's called a lot of stuff, right? He's like Bracken, right? They see things and they call them out, and stuff happens, and they're spot on. He's got a different view. I don't like the Treasury pick. A lot of reasons I don't like the Treasury picks. but we'll see what they actually do. I mean, there's not a hell of a lot we can do about it now anyway, until they actually get into office and they start doing stuff. Whatever that stuff is going to be good or bad. And there's really not a lot we can do about it. So why worry about it? I mean, really, enjoy the holidays, enjoy the downtime over the next 4 days, 5 days. And, just be prepared. That's all you can do. If you spend a bunch of time working, worrying about it, okay, you can do that, but it's just a waste of energy. Use your energy in something that's important, like, reminding people that you care about how you feel about them. And just go that route. Stop worrying about the rest of it. Just going to show. So I ordered some of the loot. So if you watch the Jack Cruise interview that I talk about, he talks about red lens glasses, and I've got the readers. So this is the Bono look. If you want to cut out the blue light, there's the Bono look. And they actually do work if you actually use these. And I've got a rather large cranium, so these look like, totally look like Bono glasses on me. But they actually work, and it changes your sleep pattern. And what's funny about these things is, the first couple of times you use them, it takes a lot. It takes getting used to seeing everything with a red filter. But once you start using the stuff, you'll notice a change in your energy level, your sleep pattern, as well as how soundly you sleep too. Makes a big difference. So I highly recommend it. It's called LuciaEyes.com. And I ordered a set of glasses for just normal day-to-day stuff. And you can only get it like 40 or 60%. That cuts down the blue light. So we'll see when they come in. They should be here tomorrow, the next day. So anyway, like I said, there's been a lot of attacks on the cyber side today. Microsoft 365 and Teams was intermittent. Don't know if it was attack or not, but there was issues with Teams and with 365 today. So to me, that seems like profiling. If you don't know anything about cyber tactics, usually you'll do reconnaissance on a network to figure out, that could be a scan the border, scan the external network to see what ports are open, etc. Most of the time you don't need to do that anymore, just because those ports are already scanned by a number of different entities, and you can just pay for a subscription and see, pick your company and pick your target, and they'll tell you what the score is for the company. They'll even tell you what they're seeing in some cases, so you'll even know what ports. So it's the business has changed. So instead of doing reconnaissance and profiling, now they're just doing direct penetration testing to see what they can get into on the exterior. And it's been an interesting couple of weeks, because I've seen a ramp up of both attacks as well as outages. So I'm saying this just to say, be prepared. If the net goes down, for a day or two, you'll know what's going on. Switch to alternative comms. And I spent all day flashing a phone. I was flashing the Pixel 8, did this today, and flashed it with graphene, which is interesting to do. I had a bunch of issues. It took me like 2 hours to do it, but I finally got it figured out. So there are alternative comms out there available, and you should be at least have an alternative comm plan if the internet goes down and cell phones go down. So most of us do, but I would rather imagine most people haven't tested it. Now is the time to test it. Because I think, if there's an uptick in attacks, it means there's something big coming. And it could just be a denial of service attack. You never know, right? You don't know. The CrowdStrike thing woke everybody up. Because when if you think about it, an endpoint protection program is massively invasive to any operating system. So you take down the EDR solution, it brings down, the entire, everything that's it's installed on. That's a pretty good denial of service attack. And while the CrowdStrike thing was an anomaly, so to speak, it does show that everybody's susceptible in one way or another. And given the fact that, and I don't know if any of you guys know this, but on Friday, Blue Yonder was hit with ransomware in their Azure cloud, and they issued a statement on Saturday talking about that they were still cleaning up from that. It tells me that we'll see more of that. So if you're not practicing good security hygiene, now is the time to start doing that. And that means strong passwords, rotate your passwords, go out to Have I Been Pwned and check your passwords. I'm going to keep beating this drum because this is an Achilles heel for most people, because you set a password, you never change it, and you don't look backwards. And it comes to bite you in the ass, especially if one of your accounts is owned and they can get to credit card data. Because I'm telling you, you got a hell of a lot more accounts out there than you think you do. If you're on a mailing list, if you're on, you know, if you have a site that you go to, if you have a retailer you go to, like all of us have an Amazon account. Imagine if Amazon gets pwned and they've got some very sophisticated security measures that they use to keep their networks clean. But it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you get owned. So do that. Do the security hygiene now. Clean up your passwords, rotate your MFA keys, etc. Do it all right now. Just my two cents, given what I've seen. The situation in Russia, and that blew up my phone too. Here's my view of that. If that comes to pass, like today there was a bunch of, I'm just going to call it, you know, chumming, for lack of a better word, throwing chum in the water. And there was a bunch of reports that, you know, the Biden administration is thinking about sending nuclear weapons to Ukraine. Okay, first of all, I'm suspect of the source. Second of all, we don't send nuclear weapons to our allies. We've never done that. I doubt we're ever going to do that. And it's one thing to say, it's another thing to actually do it. We've always had, our doctrine has always been that nuclear weapons are highly protected and we don't give them to anyone or authorize the use for any reason. So the key here is watch the rhetoric, but if they authorize, you know, first strike, then all bets are off. But let me ask you a question. What are you going to do about it anyway? How, you're not going to know that we're under attack until the bombs are hitting. And you're not going to have time to go out, smoke a cigarette, or, you know, whatever you want to do, because it just doesn't work that way. And I just don't think there's anybody in the Pentagon that's dumb enough to authorize that. And if there are, then we really are in a dangerous time. But we're in a dangerous time anyway. And I don't think that there's going to be anything in the next several weeks, that's anything more than rhetoric. I could be wrong, but I'm just watching the rhetoric. I'm watching the messaging. And I can tell you that everybody was thrown off by the messaging right after the election. None of it made sense, still doesn't make sense. But that doesn't mean there's something wrong. It just means it's changing narrative. The question is why? And nobody has that answer, not even me. But I can tell you that I'm suspect of a lot of things, and I'm not going to dwell on those, for the simple fact that even if I did, it's not going to change the situation. So it's better just to live your life and enjoy the holidays, enjoy the downtime, and be prepared. And whatever happens, then you're ready to go. It's all you can do. And, you know, I just don't think. There might be a scare, there might be a moment, but I really don't see anybody being that dumb. And if they are, it means they really are. If the regime authorizes the use of nuclear weapons, especially in Ukraine, then this is what it tells me. It tells me that all of those conversations about how desperate the regime is to maintain power, all that would be true. Because for them to get to that point, to authorize the use of nuclear weapons, means not only are they desperate, but they consider whatever is coming an existential crisis, to the point where they're willing to risk the survival of the entire planet. And there's been too many leaks. There's been too many, let's just say, timely releases of information that have thwarted their plans. I fully expect to see that in this case. If they really are having that conversation, you can expect that somebody's going to leak that information. And I would hope they do. I would hope that cooler heads prevail and there's adults in the room to say, this is not only bad, this is mostly bad. So we'll see how things develop. And right now I'm just letting things develop because it doesn't do any good to stress about it. It doesn't do any good to sit there and worry about what's next. There's nothing you can happen. There's nothing you can do about it. Now, there is one topic that I did want to talk about today. And Gas Guy, you know, that's a great segue. First of all, the pole shift. What if everything we're seeing is related to some kind of an event that the elite know is coming? And what if the reason why they don't care if we know is because in their timeline of what they estimated this event's going to happen, they know it's so close that they really don't care? And it would explain a lot. It would explain why they don't care that people know that they're cheating in the elections. They don't care that they're doing and basically wiping their ass with the Constitution. That would explain a lot, wouldn't it? And it would really answer the mail on why so many events have been accelerated. I'm not saying this is something that I think is going to happen. I'm just saying it would explain a lot. But it's worth considering, given the erratic behavior we've seen from governments all over the planet. It would also explain why there's been so many food recalls in the last several months. And I mean, you've had everything from poultry to cheese to toothpaste been recalled for one BS reason for another. To me, that means that they're stocking bunkers with the stuff, the last minute things they need for whatever event is coming. And, you know, maybe it's just a legitimate recall. But there's been too many anomalies that the public has seen. And I've been watching Ben Davidson's posts on Twitter, and I pretty much watch his show every day. Yeah, carrots. Fucking carrots. God, there's really no end to the lunacy. When you see it and you can't stop seeing it, there's no end to the lunacy, I'm telling you. But where I'm going with that is, you have to consider all plausible and possible scenarios. And this is one of those scenarios that we talked about when Ben Davidson was on the show. What if that is what's driving events? Or worse, you know, the alien cart. I've been hearing a lot more of that and seeing a lot more of that in alternative media. And I really haven't paid attention to it, but it shows up over and over and over and over again. And it's very interesting when you start considering the likely scenarios of what would drive those events. And it's worth considering, because I could tell you one thing that most of us don't consider is some kind of a catastrophic event like that. I know that it's probably unlikely, but you have to consider everything. The other one that I wanted to talk about, because I've had this conversation several times, and it's actually kind of comical. But one of the scenarios that was put in front of me is, what if all this shit's being driven by off planet? What if something or someone is saying to the elite, you got to disclose all this stuff, and you have to, you know, you have to liberate the people from all of this oppression or, you know, the slavery. And what if their answer is, okay, fine, we'll do that. But that just means we're going to kill everybody. Maybe that, you know, that, is it plausible? Yeah. Is it possible? Very small possibility, but it's funny thinking about it because that's exactly what a psycho would do. If I can't be in power, fuck it. Nobody's going to be in power. Full send. It's kind of, you know, it's funny to think about, but that's how these people think. That's exactly how these people think. And I was reminded of that today. By the way, if you watch Coffee and a Mic, Luongo cracks me up because, you know, he calls people vandals. Those guys are fucking vandals. It just cracks me up for a taste, doesn't it? Because I know exactly what he's talking about. But I've had conversations with a number of different people since the election. And I could tell you that everybody's thrown off. Everybody's considering all these possible scenarios. You know, Luongo has a scenario. Others have scenarios. And the truth of the matter is, whatever they do, they're good, because everybody thinks they're going to do something. I'm not so convinced of that. And here's why I'm not convinced of that. I'm not convinced of that because it doesn't sell to the public. The public doesn't see whatever event that happens as a legitimate event. And a case in point, now let's say a dirty bomb goes off in one of our cities. The first thing that alternative media is going to say is false flag. And then within hours, you will see more and more information coming out about the false flag. So there's already a significant portion of the population that won't buy the bullshit anyway. And then you see the death throes of the mainstream media. I don't know if you guys saw the Twitter post today where they gave a couple of journalists awards, and one of them just went off on how journalism's hard and Twitter is not the media, and that you just can't just post to, you know, 500 characters and be a journalist. Well, I hate to break it to you, but not only is alternative media and social media a news source, but you're seeing debunking of the mainstream lies. And that is proof positive that the elite have lost the cultural narrative and they don't know what to do to get it back. They were so entrenched in their control systems that when the shift happened, they didn't even realize it. And now they realize it because everything that they've put out in the last 5 years has been debunked within minutes, if not hours. And to the point where they didn't realize how effective Telegram was at disrupting their operations, which is why they bid full court press to get it under control so they could censor it. I would highly doubt that some of these mainstream channels last another 2 years, especially MSDNC. I think Elon Musk is going to buy them, and I think they are going to, well, we'll see what they do with it. I was saying on the show today that, you know, Alex Jones on MSDNC, that would be priceless. And watching, you know, I watched the meltdown of Rachel Maddow. I gotta say, I watched it at least 10 times. I mean, I love watching karma like that. Hit somebody like her in the face, because she is Pravda in its purest form. All gaslighting, all the time, all BS, right? Wait, let me say that right. All bullshit. So it's great to see her eating crow. It's great to see The View reading the legal statements and it just tasting like poison coming out. God, that never gets old. It's absolutely fantastic to watch. But it galvanizes the point that they've lost the cultural narrative and they don't know what to do with it. And look, anytime there's a revolution in technology or revolution in culture, it happens at breakneck speed. If you look back at the rock and roll phenomena of the 50s, right, there was all kinds of resistance to it. There was all kinds of, you know, legal action. Same thing with NWA when NWA came out in the 80s. There was all kinds of resistance, police actions, et cetera. But look at the industry now. The industry now is you got all kinds of R&B and hip hop that came out of that. And they were literally one of the first, you know, iterations of that. And they were the ones that went through all the pain. We're watching the exact same thing going on right now with the transition from mainstream media, mainstream TV and programming to unstructured, unprogrammed information being pushed across the internet that they can't control. And that is their Achilles heel, right? you know, when I was in the information space in the military, I used to just have it out with these fucking academics at Fort Leavenworth and the War College, because these nitwits, they just didn't understand technology, right? Their biggest understanding of a computer was the on-off switch. And, you know, when you get a bunch of tech guys in the room to understand how this stuff really works, it's easy to debunk their theories. And this is the problem with academia in and of itself, is that most of the people that are teaching have never done jack shit in their lives other than be in the education system. So they don't know how anything works. And there's probably some exceptions to that. But this is the same kind of a thing. The mainstream media has been so controlled by so few people for so long. And they've had this recipe for you know, generations, that the change happened and they didn't even realize the change happened. And we watched the same thing happen on the battlefield in Ukraine. When drones showed up, changed the landscape of the battlefield forever. And it's a revolution in military affairs right now. And the Army is just catching up after 2 years, starting to change doctrine. That should tell you how slow a monolith like the mainstream media would take to turn and to be able, it's like steering a Titanic with a tiny rudder. They're literally trying to steer the entire industry with a tiny rudder, and they're fighting all the way. It's a classic example of an industry that's near death, and it's already been reborn as something else, but whatever comes out of this as considered mainstream will be, it'll be on-demand consumption versus waiting for a program to start. And it's really been on demand for almost a decade now. And they're the ones that have missed it and didn't make the transition. Because most of us don't sit around and watch a newscast every single day. In fact, we don't even care. I don't give a fuck what the news says. Most of these newscasters here in Phoenix, just like, you know, the newspapers, Arizona Central and all the other communist rags, most of those people that are broadcasting the news, they're too stupid to realize that the rest of the world doesn't pay attention to them. And most of them are dumb as a sack of hammers anyway. They can barely read what's in front of them, let alone have a cognitive thought about what they're reading. It's a recipe that was old 20 years ago, and now it's just been pronounced dead. And it needs to be dead, because we live in a world that's on demand, and everything we touch should be on demand. But see, here's the problem. The problem is, as you increase the velocity of information flow, you decrease the ability for anybody to vet that information. So you get a lot of BS pumped into the system, and it's easy for an adversary to interrupt and feed the system with BS that would disrupt all of your operations and keep the truth away from people. And that's the other Achilles heel of any kind of social media and alternative media, is that the injection of BS is so prevalent that you have to wade, you swim through the shit to keep the gutters clean. And there's a lot of bullshit out there. I mean, there's a few people I talk about that get under my skin that are grifters, but there's a whole host of people on the peripheral that are putting out stuff that is just nonsense. But people consume it. And that should tell you, you know, it used to be pro wrestling. Everybody knew it was bullshit. Everybody knew it was staged, but there was still a massive audience for it. This is exactly the same. People want to be entertained. People want to buy into these, you know, far out theories of what's really going on. And most of it's BS to begin with. So my point of saying all this is, we're in the middle of the transition of information and where we get our information from. My concern, and I tried to voice this today on Mike's show, is Tom's looking at the next 60 days to get through that. I'm looking farther down the road. I'm at 60 days plus 2 years. What does that look like? All things being equal, let's say this new administration comes to town, all these picks come to town, they actually do start to make changes. They start to have impact. They start to try and reform the system. What are the guardrails that we need to watch out for over the next 2 years? I can tell you one of them is AI. We need to watch how AI is trained We need to watch how AI is used and where AI is used. But more importantly, we need to watch what they fucking trust AI with. Because if AI is trusted with systems that can touch other systems like weapon systems, we should be very wary of that. On top of that, we should be very wary of how AI is used in government systems. We should also be very wary of how they construct some of these newer systems that are coming online. Like, let's talk about 1ID. So April of 2025, everybody's supposed to transition to 1ID in order to travel. Okay. Did any of you sign up for that? No. Is anybody talking about dismantling it? No. Is anybody talking about dismantling the censorship and the censorship engine? No. Just like I think Mike was saying in the chat that the video that he posted of Tom and I was already taken down off of YouTube. Well, what are we going to do about that? Because this whole Section 230, which allows them to censor because they're a private company, that bullshit has to stop. And my view of that is, and you could disagree with me all you want, my view of that is, if you're a YouTube, if you're a Facebook, if you're a Twitter, if you are any kind of social media platform, you are by definition the de facto town square, and you cannot regulate speech in the town square, period, full stop, end of story. I don't care if you monetize it, make money off of it, but you do not censor anybody in the town square. It doesn't matter how offensive their speech is. Now, that gets into the whole conversation around shadow banning and, you know, limiting reach. All that has to be fixed too. We have to watch all of that develop. And if it develops, and if it doesn't, we have to push it in that direction so it does develop. Because we want every platform to be wide open for people to say whatever they want to say, but also for people to be accountable for the things that they say that are complete nonsense. Because that's the other piece of it. There's no accountability. And for somebody that's putting out fraudulent information that they know is fraudulent, they need to be held accountable for that. And that, to me, is what's missing right now. So we're on the precipice of seeing a lot of changes. We're on the precipice of seeing something that could potentially be altering for our entire culture. What we also need to watch out for is we need to watch out for a few big companies owning all the media, just like we've seen in the past. And more importantly, we need to throw out all the intelligence agencies from all of the media across the board and take away all of their ability to influence what we see. Because for the past 20 years, we've seen this massive shift towards the satanic, you know, pedophilia and pretty much everything you see on demand right now, there's some kind of overtone of either being ruled, satanic, pedophilia, you name it. It's all out there. And we have to change that paradigm. Now, does that mean we go back to the whole 50s Western, you know, Westerns where the good guy always wins and, you know, the Lone Ranger and Tonto show up? No. But we do need to have stories and dive into our history and figure out what's real about our history. Because the other part of this all at one, and I should say all at once, we have to not only reform the system, build a new system, but we have to dive into our history and see what's been changed by the religion of the state. And it's already starting to change with regards to World War II, that narrative that Nazis are bad, allies are good, allies only did good things, all that's horseshit, right? Because I'm seeing more and more information come out about the gas chambers that supposedly the Germans used on the Jews. And that narrative is starting to be dispelled and has been for a while. So we're seeing all these changes happening potentially in a very short period of time. Because what has to happen, especially when Trump takes office, is he has to come in and establish the initiative and take the initiative very, very quickly and go on the offensive. Meaning he starts writing executive orders, he starts changing the guard, he starts putting people in place, and they start going after people to keep the regime on their heels. And that's going to take all of us to do. Because at the same time that's going on, we have to be doing the deep dive into all these different relationships and bringing it to light. So he's got a monumental task if he does get into office and when he gets into office. So, you know, there's lots of room for optimism. And I got to tell you, I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic because I think for the first time in our history in the last 60 to 70 years, the American people are paying attention now, or at least enough are paying attention to where there's critical mass. And that gives me a lot of hope because we need critical mass right now, and we need to keep paying attention. It doesn't matter what the elite think. Doesn't matter what you think they think. What matters is we have the numbers. We have to keep the numbers engaged. We have to keep people paying attention. We have to keep the malfeasance in the public consciousness, and we have to keep it right at eyesight all the time. And that's what alternative media is good for, is keeping the key and the most pertinent topics right at eye level all the time. That's the challenge. And that's going to be the Achilles heel for the elite, especially since they're trying to both shoehorn in all these federal judges. They're trying to get all these mRNA vaccines into our food supply as fast as they possibly can. So it's up to us to keep that in the public consciousness and to continue to keep the noise level high so all these politicians know we're paying attention. You know, things I don't like the fact that oligarchs are openly running this country. I don't like the fact that we have a bunch of oligarchs in the middle of the government right now setting policy and driving policy. I don't like that at all. But the one check and balance we have is keeping what they're doing at eye level for the entire population to see. That's where the rubber meets the road. And that's probably one of the most important things that alternative media has done in the last 5 years, is keep things that are normally out of sight right at eye level. Like this Diddy thing and the Epstein thing. Normally in the mainstream, it would just die off and people would stop talking about it and forget about it. But thanks to alternative media, that is still in the public consciousness, and people want answers to it. People want to see who was on the plane. People want to know who went to the island. But more importantly, people want to know what happened to the tapes when the FBI went to the island. And I think we're on the verge of getting that information. Just like I think we're on the verge of getting some major disclosures around what the elite have been doing. And I think that's probably why we're seeing some of the rush to get things into place. I could tell you this much. And if somebody from the Trump camp is listening, I want you to listen to me very, very carefully right now. If you don't follow through and hold people accountable for the treason, for the fraud, and for the lying that took place during Operation Warp Speed, but more importantly, to the damage that these vaccines have caused to Americans, you will not only be the most despised man in American history, but you will see an insurgency that you never thought possible, because the American people are fed up. They have had enough of the fraud, of the fact that the elite go to Washington, D.C., and they enrich themselves on taxpayer dollars. The American people are tired of funding other countries and funding other countries' war machine. They're tired of the free bullshit given to all of these illegals brought in. They're tired of watching their hard-earned income diminish by the day because of this rampant and uncontrollable spending binge that all of you have been on. This is the mandate from the American people. This is what the American people want. This is what the American people voted for: accountability, transparency, and most importantly, they want to see people brought to justice. If you are not willing to follow through with that, then I suggest you step down now, because the American people are not going to step back, they're not going to forget, and they're not going to stop watching. The feedback you've gotten already from social media on just some of your picks should be enough to wake up everybody around you, especially Jared Kushner. And my advice to you, Mr. President, is get that guy away from the administration and keep him away from the White House so he can't do any more damage to this country than he already has. Nobody trusts him, nobody likes him, and nobody wants him. So pay attention and listen to the American people, because they have spoken to you very, very clearly about what they expect. And they are not going to accept anything less. There is no if, and, ors, or buts. You follow through or you will be the most despised man in American history. And I'm telling you, you're filling some tall shoes, because the Clintons are probably the most despised people on this planet. But you will surpass them if you lie to the American people and you don't follow through. And whether you like to hear that or not, tough shit, pal. You signed up and now you have to follow through. And if you don't follow through, I guarantee you, you will see something new. Because Americans have seen nothing but malfeasance since 2016, and they want justice, real justice. They want to see a special counsel that goes after Obama and Brennan and puts them in prison for treason. They have all committed treason. And the other thing the American people want is they want transparency. They want to see all the tapes. They want to see all the malfeasance, no matter how bad it is. In fact, I want to see the tapes from Andrew Weiner's laptop that caused 13 New York City police officers to kill themselves. I want to know what it was that was on those tapes that was so horrific that these guys took their own lives. That's what Americans want. And they are not going to accept anything less. So I would pay attention, Mr. President, because you're running out of options and runway. And if we see any more big pharma picks, guess what? All bets are off. And one last thing. Nobody wants to hear about warp speed. Nobody cares. You know why? Because it's a fraud. The whole thing was fraud. And you know it was fraudulent. And you could take credit for it all you want, but you're taking credit for fraud. So my advice is stop talking about it and do something about the damage caused by the vaccines. That's my advice to you. I hope he's paying attention. I really do. Because what's on the horizon can be really good for the American people, really good for the planet, or really bad. And I hope for our sake. I really do hope for our sake. And this is something I've been visualizing, is that these people come to office, we see accountability, we see people held to account for treason, we get to the bottom of who's really behind Obama and who really brought him to power, and we hold all those people accountable. It's not just John Brennan. There was people around John Brennan that funded Obama and funded his rise to power. I want to know who they are. And then I want them brought to justice. And I want every bit of malfeasance by the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation and the Rockefellers and all those other elitist families that have buried their fortunes in NGOs, I want it all taken away from them. I want them held to account for the damage they've done to this country and other countries. And then I want every single Chinese national that has been brought into this country to promote communism, I want them rounded up, I want them put on a plane, and I want them sent back to China. With a sign around their collar that says, if you bring any more back, the next time they're coming home in bags. That's what I want. I want China's influence limited in this country and in Canada, especially in Mexico, to the point where they can't do anything without us seeing it and doing something about it. And as far as the cartels are concerned, I want them cut off. And I want to know exactly who in the intelligence agency is funding all of these cartels and working with these cartels. And then I want everybody in DHS and Border Patrol that has taken money from the cartels, I want them held to account as well. And that's a monumental task. But we can do all of that in 4 years, not to mention cut the budget. Now, the question really becomes, and here's the hardest aspect of all this to consume. And that is, what do you do with non-discretionary spending? Entitlements. And there's a lot of them. But the biggest one is Social Security. Social Security was never designed to be a retirement program. It was never designed to be around long term. It was only designed to be around long enough for the country to get back on track. And here we are 80, 90 years later, and we are still dealing with Social Security, and it's already bankrupt. It's unfortunate, but we're going to have to do some kind of an alternative for people that are dependent on Social Security. And that entitlement in and of itself costs us trillions of dollars every year to maintain. And most of us have put into 401ks, et cetera. There has to be accountability for that. And we have to return to some kind of retirement system that allows people to retire and allows them to enjoy the twilight years of their lives. And it's not just because of me, you know, not just because of my age, I'm saying that. Now, I have a mother that lives off Social Security. She makes like $1,600 a month off Social Security. Worked her whole life. And to see these illegals come in here and get $5,000 a month, free housing, free food, vouchers for stuff. And I see my mother, who's worked her whole life, and she's literally making barely poverty level. If she didn't have the apartment she was in and she hadn't been in it for 20 years, she would definitively be on the street. And that has to be fixed. That is wrong. Our ethos as a country has always, always been that we do things for moral reasons, that we support our community, that we do service above self. And we realize that, yeah, there's opportunity. There's the ability to live an affluent lifestyle. There's an ability to accumulate wealth. But at the same time, it was always tempered with the idea that you give back to the community when you make that money and when you have those opportunities, so that other people in your community, other people in our country, could rise to the same level. That's not affirmative action. That's paying it forward, if you want to call it that. That was an ethos that we had for generations, that when you make that kind of money, you truly give to organizations that allow people the other opportunity, the opportunity that you had. And you give to organizations that help people that are less fortunate. Because not everybody's born with the opportunities that, you know, some of us have had. In fact, you know, I barely made it through college because I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand the professors. I couldn't stand academia. I couldn't stand it. And, you know, there was other guys that just loved it. The point is, everybody had an opportunity to go. It shouldn't cost people $300,000 to go to college. And you could take out all the bloat and give people the education. And more importantly, we want people to go through and get an education. We want people to be educated in civics and real history and real science and real technology. We want people to be educated in that. It helps our society, more importantly, but it helps the overall society. And this concept of selfless service is not something that's new. It's something that's been around in our culture since the very beginning. In fact, our founding fathers, they were all very affluent men, but they worked diligently, and some of them gave up their lives to write the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, because it was bigger than them. It was bigger than something that they could achieve in their lifetime. And it was something that would benefit the country for generations. And we've lost that. That's who we are. That's what we're about. We're not about, I got mine. That's not what we're about. We're not about building wealth just for ourselves. We're about building opportunity. We're about building innovation. We're about leading the world in new technology and new ways of doing things. In fact, we were exceptional at it in World War II and beyond. You know, take away the defense industrial complex. We have some amazing technology that came out of this country all the way through, I would say, the early 90s. And then it started to atrophy when the corruption and the fraud and the banks took over and started pushing industry outside of our country. And if we get back to that, where we're actually industrialized and we're actually building new technology, I guarantee you, you will see the creativity and the innovation which made this country great in the first place. But more importantly, if we return to an aspect of selfless service and we make decisions based on moral reasons and based on a moral compass that's centered in faith, I guarantee you, you will see something new. You will see a country that is not only the beacon of opportunity for the rest of the planet, will drive other countries to do the same thing. That's what we did after World War II. Between the 50s and the 70s, we literally pushed the world towards technology. We were leading the world in innovation, and we need to get back at it. And it's not just technology. It's innovation in farming. It's we figured out ways to do things that was in harmony with nature. We have some of the best minds in the world. We just need to fix our education system. We need to get rid of all the liberal, you know, injects that have come from all this color revolution and all of these, let's just say, special interests and oligarchs that have put massive grants to push all this garbage to our kids. If we get back to where we teach our kids civics and critical thinking, I guarantee you, you're going to see a country that's in a better position. And all these things that we take for granted every week, every day, that we see, and all this nonsense that we say, it will be less important. Politics will be less important. It will become, what have you done this week for your country? You know, JFK's famous saying, ask not what you, what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Quintessential words at a time when the country needed to hear it. And I think what he wanted to do was inspire younger generations to do something good for the good of the of mankind through service. And we need to get back to that. And it doesn't mean war. It doesn't mean you go serve in the military. It means that you go, you start a business, you build opportunity in your community and your and in your county or your town, and you give other people the ability to climb out of the gutter and pull themselves up by their bootstraps and give them something to look forward to. And at the same time you're giving back, you're still, you can still live an affluent lifestyle. But it's not all about stuff. If we take the emphasis away from stuff and about this is what I have to this is what I've done, that will be a difference. A difference for all of us. And the last piece of it is we need to stop criticizing the differences between people and celebrate the differences. We have to kill that aspect of media and social media. I don't know how to do that. I don't know the best way to do that. But I know if we spend 10 nanoseconds celebrating the differences between cultures, this would be a vastly different country and a vastly different planet. And we have got to get back to a place where we teach our children how to do things, how to be productive, a work ethic, a moral ethic, and a faith system and a belief system. Because we are sorely missing a moral compass in this country. And you can see it everywhere you go. It's unfortunate, but that's where we are. But it doesn't mean we can't change our culture moving forward. And I would say if we do change our culture and we put the hard work in, I guarantee you we will not only be the beacon of light for the world, we will be the beacon of light for innovation. And that's where we need to be. At least that's where I think we need to be. But having a value-based system that we strive to achieve things that are good for all of humanity, guess what? This would be a great place to live. Couple of things before I go. If you like what I'm doing, if you like the channel, hit the follow button and follow us. That'll tell you when the shows are coming on. And don't be afraid to put yourself out there in your community. As far as the shirts go, somebody asked me about shirts. The shirts are down there. The link for shirts is in the description box. Go out and buy the shirts. See, I'm wearing them all the time. trying to get the word out on what it means, trying to get people to recognize it when they, when I walk around and they see it, they know what it means. So we really are one team, and this really is one fight. And that fight is to restore the Republic, at least right now. Then the fight will be to not only revamp our entire society, but change our culture for the better. And the key tool in our toolkit is going to be empathy. It's going to be hard to have at times, but I'm telling you, with some of the changes, I hope for our sake that we don't see any conflict here on our soil. I really do. And I hope for our sake that we see people that go into office that are dedicated to restoration of this republic. I really do hope that for us. But if not, we'll take action. That's how it goes. What action that looks like, who knows, but we'll take action. And I'll be back on Wednesday with the situation report. I'll be back at my normal time, which is 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. Or was it 4 o'clock? I don't know. Depends on my schedule. I'll try and do it for 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. That's a better time slot anyway. Until then, God bless everyone. One team, one fight.